Crazy day in sports. Olympics are in full swing. United States disappointing as ever.
Spoiler alert.
Controversy. Simone Biles. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, guess what? Rocket can. We've got guests this hour, one guest in hour three. We got takes. We're talking about the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team. We're going to get into a Dutch cyclist who thought she won but didn't.
We're going to get into the Olympic composer and the Olympic director who both got fired right before the opening ceremonies or stepped down.
Insane. So to us, the most insane story of the day was Simone Biles walking out of the Olympics or walking out of the competition. But an even bigger story, perhaps, it's leading off every other sports talk radio segments and shows and whatnot, is Aaron Rodgers walking into camp today.
Huge. And
we need to make sense of it, so I want to bring in a longtime NFL insider who joins the show with us right now. He is fantastic, written books. The man's an author, Jay.
He is an author.
And he knows what he's talking about, Jason Cole. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, guys?
So we're good. When you saw Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, let me just say, flat out, love Aaron Rodgers. Love his attitude.
Love his hair when he's playing golf.
I love the quiet confidence, and I feel like after football, Aaron Rodgers is going to be good. I don't know if I feel that so much about Tom Brady, but Aaron Rodgers is going to have a great life post-football. But right now,
you're worried about Tom Brady.
No, we're not worried.
I'm not worried about his life after. But what's he going to do when he can't, you know, make videos of him throwing the ball into jugs machines? Maybe that's all he's going to do. But I'll say this: a lot of people right now, and maybe you included, are saying that Aaron Rodgers got housed on this deal, or just, you know, the deal of his contract.
Packers came out on top.
Packers came out on top. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, it's going to be really hard for him to get out of the deal. And look, I think the most important question with Aaron Rodgers is, who does he resemble most, Dave Grohl or Frank Zappa?
Both. Both. A mixture of the two. You know, you can morph them into that.
You see it. You automatically see it.
Yeah. Zappa-esque.
So I think the post-career is he becomes a Frank Zappa, Dave Grohl impressionist.
He could do that.
That's what the future holds for
him. Who hosts Jeopardy.
As for this contract, look, the only way for him to get out of Green Bay is you have to essentially blow up the building.
Right.
You have to sit there and say, I refuse to play for these guys. They're terrible human beings.
Right.
I can't be a Packer anymore. Well, there's a lot of stuff that splashes back on you.
It's exactly.
Right. So your legacy is tarnished. You become, you know, the jackwagon who decided to destroy this team. Instead of, okay, let's come to some peaceable solution where I am going to have to sort of tuck tail and walk in the door, but I come in, I play one more great year, and then I have my freedom. All right.
But so what kind of freedom is he going to have? This is my question, because when Brady walked in and negotiated his contract with Kraft right after Robert Kraft went down to Florida for a massage, when Brady negotiated that with, and maybe he had just come out of a massage,
where so he was happy,
he was relaxed. Who knows what kind of an ending it was? But you know that he had this conversation with him, and he basically cleared out all the obstacles for him to
go wherever he wants.
He can be an unfettered free agent, pick the team he wanted to go to. Say, I want to go to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is not going to lose anything. They keep all their assets, they keep all their draft picks, and I just walk into that basically turnkey situation and go win a Super Bowl, and the rest is history. The question is, where is that the same thing that Aaron Rodgers, we don't know the details of the contract, but is that the same thing that Aaron Rodgers can do
in a year?
Or will the Packers have something to say about it?
Well, I mean, nobody knows exactly what the specifics are.
Right.
But the idea is, yes, he will be granted his freedom at the end of this year. That's the only reason he walks in the door right now and doesn't make some issue out of it. Is that they give him the concession that he gets his freedom right away. Now he can't really blow up the building in the way that I'm talking about, but he could have withheld services for a little while. And the financial side of it wasn't going to be that deep and harmful for him, but it was going to be a bit of a distraction. I think the Packers would just like to sit here and go, look, let's try and get through this as distractionless, if that is actually a word.
Yeah, it is not.
It is now. Jason Cole made it.
Now, yes, exactly. And let's try and get through the season as best we can. Then we will part ways the same way that the Patriots and Brady parted ways.
And he'll go out west. He'll go to Denver. He'll go to San Francisco. He'll go to if the Matt
anywhere,
Stafford experience.
Yeah. He'll go anywhere he wants
right.
to go. And if that's
except the Bears. Although, how great would that? Would that be a giant middle finger to the Packers if he goes to the Bears? Can you imagine that?
That I hadn't thought of that yet.
It's not going to happen. It's not. It's well, so I mean, delicious.
So
but it's not going to.
Are
happen.
The Bears saying to themselves,
"What about Detroit? Like, if it was Detroit or Minnesota, any of those teams? Now the Bears are perfect, but they do have Justin Fields,
right?
And so they want to do the transition thing, and he probably doesn't want to get involved in that mess for
no.
a second time,
no,
because he's just dealt with Jordan Love. But Detroit doesn't. Well, I mean, they have Goff, so they don't have a quarterback.
So
that's. But that is a bit of Cal on Cal crime.
That is Cal
exactly.
on Cal crime.
Right. Although I'm not sure Goff would necessarily understand that.
Different Bears. And, different Bears.
Yeah. So I think the Vikings could this could be a whole Brett Favre 2 thing. But,
I mean, it feels
look,
like
I
Brett
think
Favre.
He wants to play. He wants to go west.
He wants
and
to go west.
That's, Denver's the most likely. The Raiders will obviously be deep into that as well.
The Raiders will, and I feel like both Denver and the Raiders are one great quarterback with phenomenal receiver assets, one great quarterback away. And when you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers.
Stick to comedy.
Okay, fine. Well, when you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers in the last 3 years, he had the best three-year TD to interception ratio in history, 99 touchdowns
to 11?
11 interceptions, 9 to 1. And what was Brady's best 3 years was
5 maybe, to 1?
Yeah, 5.5 to 1 or whatever it was. He is. So what that says to me is that the Packers' defense didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
Well, look, the Packers haven't really supported Rodgers. I mean, and whether it was Ted Thompson not playing in the free agency waters, mm-hmm. or whether it's Brian Gutekunst going and finding his successor when he should be supporting him with more weapons, or Matt LaFleur not being able to think his way through an endgame strategy when you're down by 8 points.
Right.
Like, or Mike McCarthy not changing the offense for years and years and years and sticking to these old ideas. One way or another, there are multiple people who are not on the field who have gotten in the way of Aaron Rodgers thinking that he can win that second Super Bowl, whether he could or not, okay? He's sitting here just like every other quarterback in the league. Like Russell Wilson looks at the same thing in Seattle. That's
yep.
why he's rumbling around. He's,
yeah, right.
he's looking at this going, hey, Brady's winning like 7 of these things, mm-hmm. and I can't get to my second?
Right.
Like, And they both, you know, in their heart as competitors, you have to believe that those guys say, I'm better than that guy. How's
right.
he winning all these titles, right?
Definitely.
And whether they're right or not is irrelevant. But the point is, they're frustrated because they think that the people around them are holding them back. And to a certain extent, I think Aaron Rodgers is right.
Yeah, it makes you look at the Patriots and you say to them, wow, what an organization. It's like everything has to be going right in order for you to win. You see how much it takes for you to
win. You can't just have the great quarterback. You need to have the great system behind him.
And coach who listens to it and understands it.
Yeah, it's the whole puzzle of it. But if you don't have a great quarterback, you'll be, you know, if you're trying to win with defense, and everybody talks about it, let's go build a great defense and we'll win with defense.
Right.
Okay, you might win one. You know, that might happen. You get Brad Johnson, you get Trent
Dilfer,
you get
yeah.
Jim McMahon. You might win one. You're not going to win two.
Nope. You're not going to win two.
So you got to get that great player. The Packers have had that great player, and I would argue that they've wasted the last 10 years of his career.
But because ultimately, your quarterback is the guy who, at a time when you're down in the Super Bowl, has to make a play. Like, Pat Mahomes had to make the plays he made in order for them to win that Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Tom Brady against Atlanta.
Tom Brady against Atlanta. They have to make those. You need someone who can carry that through, and the defense can't make those offensive plays to put points on the board.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll go back to Aaron Rodgers who's won his one Super Bowl victory.
Yep.
Against Pittsburgh. I mean, Pat Mahomes was fantastic in that fourth quarter, did a lot of amazing things for the strategies. Mm-hmm. But if you want to talk about making like five throws, you know, throws into a trash can from 45 yards away to a moving target, you know, the trash can is actually moving at real speed with other trash cans around it trying to break up the pass, right? Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers did those things about five times in that game to beat the Steelers. It was a phenomenal performance by him. So, yeah, that's the guy who's a difference maker. And the fact, you go all the way back to this, the fact that they haven't won a second title in the past 10 years.
With this guy.
Like, it's almost as bad as I covered Dan Marino for 8 years, the last 8 years of his career. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Dolphins could never find a way to put a championship team around him, you just sit there and go, you completely wasted somebody's career.
Did Dan Marino ever give you isotoner gloves for Christmas?
We didn't have that kind of relationship.
You needed that relationship.
I know I needed it, but I covered the September of his years.
Okay, got it.
And the December of his years.
There you go.
It was not always great. And I have
frigid.
Lots of great Marino stories. None of them can be told on your show.
Oh, I believe that. But again,
someday privately.
But by the way, Aaron Rodgers is not Dan Marino. Aaron Rodgers,
he's got one.
He's got a ring, and
he does.
You know, people look at Dan Marino as the greatest quarterback never to win it, but they still look at him as a great quarterback. Jim Kelly as well is a great.
Marino was better than Kelly.
Marino was better than Kelly. He just had a better.
He was a better talent. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, but I mean, but by the way, Buffalo put them in position to win, and Jim Kelly put his team in position to win. And it just didn't happen. That even shows you that it can come all the way down. You get your team in position, and the kicker screws it up. So it's like,
or the guy commits a penalty, and instead of a 37-yarder, you're kicking a 42-yarder.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
And the 5 yards makes all the
difference in the world. It just shows you what a team sport when it's 22 guys and a coaching staff and a front office. It again, you go back and say, look at how well the Patriots did all those years from 2002 till right before last year to win all that they did. It just shows you how many things had to go right in order for them to win. So let's look forward into this year. So Aaron Rodgers back on the Packers. I mean, as there were some rumblings that it was going to happen, you saw the odds in Vegas kind of go up for them to potentially, or down, however you want to say it, that they basically had better odds to potentially win the Super Bowl. Who are you looking at and saying, okay, these teams are going to be there, and then who are your surprise teams coming into this year?
Wow.
I mean, obviously Tampa Bay will be there.
Well,
Kansas
they
City.
Will. But let's just not be boring about that. And
okay.
Pick Brady all the time because that's too easy.
Sure.
I'm going to say that as dysfunctional as I think the San Francisco situation is,
yeah,
I do think that they're going to put it together and get back there because their defense was so good and they were just, you know, they were just crushed by injuries last year.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, they're really, really talented. They're really, really good. I worry about the secondary. But, yeah, I'll go with San Francisco because I certainly don't trust Matt Stafford, and I don't think the Seattle defense is good enough. And I think something's going to happen in Tampa where the young guys all around Brady are not really going to understand what it takes to get there again. I just don't see it. So on the AFC side, like, the Chiefs are the best team in football.
Absolutely.
And they were the best team in football until they lost their two offensive
their whole
yep.
offense. They should have won a Super Bowl, and that one's the boring choice that I will go with.
Sure.
That it will be Kansas City. So Kansas City, San Francisco, they repeat the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and then the Chiefs win. Now, if you're talking about some long shots, I'll go with the Dolphins because I like what they did around Tua.
Love that. What about Washington? I mean, how good can they be? That's a defense that you're saying to yourself.
Okay, look, you've had me talking about Aaron Rodgers and Cal guys, and I'm a Stanford grad, so this has been painful. Don't make me cheer for Ron Rivera, too,
Riverboat Ron, you got to cheer for the guy. He's been through a lot.
Yeah, we're just not doing this. Okay, so
Buffalo. How about Buffalo?
Buffalo.
I still don't trust trust Josh Allen. You know what I'm going to say is the team that I like is, I think it's really hard for Baltimore with Lamar Jackson to win if other things don't happen to other teams. But right. if other things happen to other teams,
anything can happen with Baltimore.
They'll be right there. So I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson as the as this pick because their defense is really good.
Yep.
And because if they can just avoid some third down situations, forcing him to have to make really hard throws, those throws that we talked about.
Yep. You know, moving trash cans 40 miles away. Exactly. Yeah.
I love that. I love that team, but they need help. Like they need Mahomes to not be there.
Right.
They need Josh Allen to make a critical mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can happen in the AFC right now because I think the AFC is still pretty shallow.
Yeah.
In terms of really good quality teams.
There you go. There, I love it. Jason Cole, thank you so much, buddy. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks for your insights. We appreciate you. And good luck to you.
Anytime, guys. Be good. Thanks.
Thanks. Jason Cole.
I love it, man. I love his analysis.
Spitting truth right there.
Doesn't want to be boring.
Doesn't want to be boring. But I actually think that the Packers now jump to the head. And Aaron Rodgers has something to prove to everybody.
Yeah,
why can't it be that he is this guy? It's what he was talking about, Jason Cole. He is this guy, Aaron Rodgers, that just for the fan base, that he actually swallowed his pride a little bit, tail
made
between
the choice
legs.
Instead of holding a out, team hostage.
That's right. He's at the end of his career and he wants his legacy to be like, look, I'm going to take maybe a deal that isn't the best for me, but you know what? I'm going to give it one more shot this year. Nothing's going to be disrupted as far as my play on the field. I'm not going to hold out. I'm not going to, you know, not miss games and whatnot. I'm going to come back and try and do what I can to make this.
Major win. Respect for that dude for walking through the door. I'm going to say it.
Love it. A lot of people are saying he lost. Maybe he won the overall PR battle with his fan base. And that goes a long way when you're going to the next team. Think about that.
And to the next life.
Think about the long game. And to the next life. All right, segment one down. We got more guests coming up. Mike Hall's coming up. We're going to talk about the Big Ten media days and football. College football's right around the corner. Camp starting next week. I love it. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us. It's all that you hear. Back middle of hour two, midpoint of the show. Good music, great fun. As we're talking about.
Sam in Grand Rapids says, I've been turned on to a lot of great music from you guys over
the years, buddy.
Time for me to return the favor. Check out JD and the Straight Shot.
I know JD and the Straight Shots.
Maybe play them when you return.
Remember JD and the Sure Shots?
Who's that?
That's James Dolan's band.
I think that's what he's trying to.
JD.
Wash away JD my trouble.
Oh, God.
Wash away
no!
My
stop it.
Rain the Shambhala.
He's the worst.
Bro.
He is the worst. And I've always said this about Knicks fans.
Hire Charles Oakley to choke the man.
No, if a rich Knicks fan wants to just pay.
Get rid of James Dolan.
To give him a record contract and say, you have a record contract. You can tour through Europe. You just have to give your ownership stake in the Knicks.
Spike Lee, step your game up.
Step it up. Go. All right. Let's switch gears as we are on the precipice of my favorite time of the year.
This is my favorite sport. I'm with you, Randy.
This is fall camp is about to break. Big Ten media days were last week. There's so much to go over and go through, and so we bring in the man, the anchor of the Big Ten Network, one of the mainstays there, and one of our favorite people who's done our podcast a number of times. Just a great dude. Of course, we're talking about Mike Hall. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
This is your wheelhouse, gentlemen. Everyone's undefeated.
Yes.
Nobody has a loss. It's perfect.
Hope,
there's
Mike.
Hope springs eternal in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Well, listen, you were at the Big Ten media days, and you see that hope unbridled from everybody, from guys like Greg Schiano, who is, you know, coming in with a lot of hope of stuff to build on from
Tom
last
Allen.
Year.
Jeez,
Tom Allen.
On.
There's a lot of hope in. There's more hope amongst teams. I think everybody agrees that no one's going to beat Ohio State, but Are they feeling that way? Can we really say that about their quarterback this year? I want to know your impressions from that sort of week of Big Ten media days last week.
Yeah, well, there was a lot there. It was the first time it wasn't in Chicago, so it felt a little weird, but yeah. It also felt normal, you know, right. Which is, I kind of think, what this year is going to be like. It's going to be
hopefully
mostly normal.
In person.
A little bit weird still.
Right.
I think you're right. I think if you're looking at the treetop, it's Ohio State's league to lose. They
right.
do have a huge question mark at quarterback, but it's three quarterbacks who are all very highly thought of mm-hmm. recruits. So
sure.
the assumption is whoever it is will be fine
because
they're probably surrounded by the best wide receiver core in
Ever.
The country.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing to me is the battle for who's the second best team. Like, I don't know how many of your listeners know, like, you're not joking when you throw out Tom Allen as like a real deal.
Yeah,
like, Indiana's a really good team. And they're actually, believe it or not, in the discussion for who's going to be the second best team. Could be Wisconsin, could be Iowa, might be Indiana, could be Penn State. Like, I think that's going to be a fascinating storyline throughout the entire fall in Big Ten country.
Well, it makes those games, it makes every game exciting. It makes the, you know, Indiana-Penn State's exciting. Indiana-Ohio
right.
State becomes an exciting game. Indiana-Michigan is an exciting game. So
yeah.
what you're doing and what you're seeing is, as the level of competition raises, Rutgers. Every time you
right.
got to play Rutgers, it's not a pushover. It's not a walkover. It's not a gimme. And I'm a big fan, and I agree that iron sharpens iron. And so when the competition in the league is better, you're going to see the league do better in sort of whatever it may be, bowl games.
I agree. And I think you can trace the trajectory of the league going upward back to when Urban Meyer got hired.
Right.
Because the first thing he did was he kind of said, I don't care what gentleman's agreement you all have about recruits. I'm going to get the best kids, and I don't care where they're verbally committed to. And that
right.
had like never really been done among Big Ten coaches. And so when he did that, it's sort of like everyone had to up their game because he was bringing in a top three class nationally every year. And, you know, I get a little nerdy on the signing day stuff because I've been
sure.
doing that show for us for like a decade.
Yeah.
And you can see their trajectory. Like,
yep.
you know, when Brett Bielema was at Wisconsin, they were recruiting in like the 40s nationally, and Paul Chryst has them in the top 20 now.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz always had Iowa somewhere around the high 30s, low 40s. He's got them in the top 20s. And that's ignoring that Harbaugh, no matter what you can say about him, he's a great recruiter.
He
I mean,
is.
He's consistently bringing in top 15, top 10 classes. James Franklin at Penn State doing
yep.
the same thing.
Yep.
Like, the numbers for the league as a whole are going up, and that's step one. Step two is that those good players turn into better teams.
You develop
and
them.
That's,
you
exactly,
develop
and
them,
that's
and
the
that's
next step
that's and that's what a guy like Tom Allen is doing, is taking
yeah.
guys and developing them and developing their talent. Now he loses a coach like Mike Hart, who was a fantastic running backs
yep.
coach and
associate head coach.
You're looking at a guy that maybe 5 years from now becomes a head coach, and you lose a guy like that. You lose a guy like that. That's got to be tough. But, you know, again, I think the league is right now, you're looking at the teams heading into this season.
I mean, you look at Illinois. You mentioned Brett Bielema. He's back.
Mm-hmm.
He's back
right.
at Illinois.
He's back
he's
and
got
bigger
a,
than ever.
He's larger than ever. He
I
looks
mean,
like he's bringing that baby to term.
He's got a weight problem.
But listen to me. He's got a senior quarterback. He's got a fifth-year senior quarterback
right.
in Brandon Peters. He's got some pieces. I mean, something to work with.
He's
a
got
little
a
bit.
Mobile quarterback that can fill in and present difficulties for a defense in a backup package. So,
right.
I mean, there are things that can be done. Illinois is not going to be a pushover. It's just going to make.
I agree. They've actually got 17 scholarship seniors returning.
Yep.
Everybody who wanted an extra year gets an extra year. That's the most among Power 5 teams. So, Illinois, I mean, he's got a big rebuild to do, but they might actually be better this year than people assume they would be because there's so much seniors returning this year. Although you guys did mention the Mike Hart leaving, which made me think, I'm not the first person to say this, but Tom Allen really is Ted Lasso.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Really. So
positive.
It's okay if he loses Mike Hart because he's got Coach Beard ready to step in for him.
That's right. That's right. He does. And again, look, we don't know what Northwestern is going to show up this year. They're like
the, every other year.
They're like the giant, the San Francisco Giants of 2010, 12, 14. You know, it's like every other year they could win it all. This might be their down year. We don't know. They lost a lot of talent. But if anybody's going to, you know, I don't think
motivate.
And they've always been quarterback based. Like those last 3 years, two of those years, they had really good quarterback play, and they won their division.
Right.
The third year, they had bad quarterback play, and they were 3-9. So they are entirely depending on who's going to be their gunslinger.
So this is the way I feel about Northwestern. You tell me if this is the way it goes. And it really, to me, is the tale of college football. I feel like Northwestern is about a 7-5 team every year, 6-6. Mm-hmm. Three games happen every year. Okay, or where it could go either way. And if they just make the right plays and execute the right way, they're 10-3. If they don't do it, they're 4-9, they're 3-10. That's 3-9. That's what happens to the team, and that shows you how razor thin it can be for certain teams in college football.
And I feel like we've talked about that in the past. Like, I think that is college football. A lot of sports is like that, but college football in particular, your point is so right on. Like, think about what year was it? Was it the second or third year of Harbaugh where Ohio State, Michigan went to double OT?
Yeah, and won. You're talking about a spot of a ball, one way or the other, however you see it, and you say to yourself, if he wins, he goes on. And that
goes to the playoffs. He beats Ohio State. The narrative about Harbaugh completely changes.
And
100% different. And think about how that snowballs down. You know, how much confidence they have then. Going into the next year, maybe they win another game against Ohio State. They start beating them for a couple recruits or what have you. Like, it's all changed by just that little thing, especially in this sport.
The punt blocked against that Michigan State, which is one of the greatest plays in the history of college football, and that goes against you. Not only does it get blocked, it gets run all the way back for a touchdown. I mean, there you had that game won, and suddenly you're beating D'Antonio, and you're beating your rival there, and the narrative changes a little bit.
But Harbaugh, you know, you hear about how Harbaugh was at these Big Ten media days, and a lot of people, the thought was that he came off a little more relaxed, a little more approachable,
a little more open,
a little bit more like, I'm not going to run out the clock with weird coach speak that no one's going to understand for 11 minutes so that you can ask.
Did you find that when you spoke to him or your guys talked to him?
Yep. So I had a one-on-one for about 15 minutes with him last week in Indy, and I felt like he was much more open, I think it's fair. I think there's a calmer presence to him than you've seen. And I don't know if that's just year seven of doing this and getting comfortable, or if it's sort of like we're not where we wanted to be last year, so I'm just going to be laser focused on my team and our task ahead. But, you know, he was very similar to what I've always found him to be. And you guys know him much better than I do.
Yeah.
You know, your buddies, you have sleepovers, and all that.
Sure, but, he's throwing but, like, he's, baseballs he's at our neighbors.
Thoughtful. He is interesting. He doesn't mind giving you a one-word answer if he doesn't like your question. Mm-hmm. But you always are on your toes when you're talking to him because you're not quite sure exactly where he's going to go.
Well, so he's trying to do it this year with, first of all, he revamped his staff. It's almost like he has a whole new coaching staff, much younger. A lot of people of color, which I know, you know, out on the recruiting trail, is something that you can, when you're trying to reach certain kids, is something that gets noticed, and you're trying to reach certain recruits. Younger in terms of being more in touch. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Hart, you look at a guy like Ron Bellamy. These are guys who played at Michigan. They're coming back there. So I think he's got the staff he wants. And by taking the pay cut, again, we watched Aaron Rodgers walk into the Packers camp this morning, and maybe that wasn't the best deal for Aaron Rodgers, okay? But it's a good deal for the fan base to say, you're back. You're back. You're going to help us out. Now, for Harbaugh, he's got a lot to prove this year, but he said, I'm going to take a pay cut. And because I didn't perform up to where I needed to be, and I think that sort of, you get a little credit with the fan base. Do you agree?
I agree. And I think, I think everyone who's in Ann Arbor wants him to be the guy.
Right.
Nobody is interested in this not working out. They know how good he was at Stanford. They know how many NFC title games he went to. They know he is a good coach. Everyone wants this to work out. And they've been really quite close. Last year, they were not at all. When you're 2-5, you're out of it. But everything fell apart. Yeah. I mean, Don Brown was seen as a great defensive coordinator. And then last year, they're giving up 33 points a game or whatever it was.
People figured it out.
Last year was...
People figured it out.
It was just awful. But to me, the thing that matters to Michigan, it sort of goes back to that Northwestern point. Like, who has been the quarterback that has worked for Harbaugh?
That's the problem. Really, you haven't had that quarterback. Jake Rudock?
Unfortunately, it's a question again this year. They like the three guys they have, but is one of them going to go and step up and not be, you know, a C-plus quarterback? Like, they need a B-plus.
Yeah.
They need an A-minus. It doesn't have to be Tua Tagovailoa, but, like, it's got to be something that's pretty darn good. Someone who's at least an all-Big Ten caliber quarterback.
That's right.
And that's going to push them over the hump, I think.
That's right. I mean, it is all fascinating. If you had to, and I know you're not in the business of predictions. You don't love predictions. But if you're looking...
He may not be allowed to make a prediction.
Are you allowed to make a prediction? You can say these are the teams that I think are going to be
arrested.
Strong. You're
that's
not going to get arrested.
Cops are always on me for predictions because they're always so perfect.
I know. Well, listen, if you're... Okay, so Ohio State wins the East. Uh-huh. Is it Wisconsin in the West? I mean, who...
Iowa?
Yeah. Who is the team to beat in the West?
I think most people... think Wisconsin, and they won the preseason poll of the media. And it's never a bad choice to go with Wisconsin.
Well, who's their running back? Who's their running back, and what's their running attack?
Right, that's the thing. It's probably Jalen Berger, but he was there last year, and they liked him enough that they had to make him running back by committee. So,
right.
And the other question is Graham Mertz, the quarterback, who won the Heisman Trophy week one last year,
then got
COVID the day after and was never the same.
Right.
So I've got more question marks for Wisconsin than most people. I do think it's Iowa. They've got a great running back in Tyler Goodson. They have a returning quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost two games last year by a grand total of 5 points.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then they ended the year on a 6-game winning streak.
That's right.
I think Iowa's the team. But I will give a sneaky team to keep an eye on.
I know what you're going to say. Nebraska?
No. I was going to say Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I think you know, Tanner Morgan had a down year last year, but was amazing the year before at quarterback. They might have the best running back in the Big Ten in Muhammad Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a couple games last year due to a last-second field goal that missed. So, like, they're another team that was close to being much better than we thought last year. It wouldn't stun me at all if they won the West.
I love it. Mike Hall, thank you so much for all of your insights. At BTN, Mike Hall. We'll be watching you as you break it down.
I know it's an exciting time for you, man, as we head into fall camp.
Anything's possible. Lots of hope. And we just appreciate you coming on.
Always good, boys. Talk soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Hall. So good.
Professional.
Amazing. We should do a sports update. Who's doing our sports update for us right now?
Is it Rich Ackerman?
Oh, my God. I'm very excited. I love my man, Rich Ackerman, doing a sports update. This is Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Randy and Jason Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Very natural. I love it.
Guy chokes on his words when he tries to put you first.
Because you know he can't handle the greatness. That is me leading in front of you. Hey, Sklar Brothers back here. We have one more segment in this hour, and then we've got hour three. We're going to be around on Thursday. If you like what we're doing here, you like our take on the world of sports, we have a podcast called View from the Cheap Seats. If you loved our old show, Cheap Seats, on ESPN Classic, guess what? We're making new episodes only for our Patreon fans. If you go to patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers, you can join our page, and we give you a new episode every month. We did international slap fighting. That's
from Branson, Missouri.
Well, it was an international slap fight. It was from Branson, Missouri. And the two participants were also from Missouri. And
I
would argue that everybody there from Missouri.
The only thing international about these guys is that they eat at IHOP.
That's right. So international slap fight, it is amazing. We picked the shows that we're going to do coming up. There's some great ones.
Oh, there's some
good
ones.
There's a Battle of the Network Stars in there.
There's a Wide World of Sports in there.
Oh, my God. High Dive Championships. There's Cornhole. Yeah, Cornhole. We're going to get into it.
We'll get into that later today when
we talk
about what Olympic sports need to be in the Olympics.
Hey, top of the next hour, we're going to talk a little baseball with Bob Nightingale, longtime USA Today contributor, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let's put into context what Shohei Ohtani is doing. But first, I want to talk about this Dutch cyclist who kind of She made a huge mistake.
Right. Well, so remember we were on.
It's not a huge mistake.
We were on a couple weeks ago. We were on at the beginning of the month, and we talked about how cycling, if they want to reach out to a bigger audience, needs either a villain or a character.
Yeah, something that'll make you want to watch the sport,
either for how ruthless they are,
how much you want to see them lose or get exposed,
or just someone who just does something stupid
within the sport. Right, Jay.
Right.
Have the sport do something to its rules that will allow stupidity to happen. Well, thank you, 2020 Olympics in Tokyo.
You heard us, and you were here for us. Thank you.
Over the weekend, we had a moment of sheer embarrassment, Jay, that was basically made possible by the fact that cyclists could not communicate with anybody.
Right, with
their team.
They
don't have earpieces.
Can't communicate with their team.
Let's get into it. Dutch cyclist Annemiek van Vleuten.
I think it's Annemiek van Vleuten, but
threw her arms up in the air and her face a picture of joy
when she crossed the finish line.
That's what you do when you think you've won Olympic gold. She celebrated like she just won the Tour de France.
Get your iPhones out, people, because
I just crossed the finish line. Me, the champion.
That's when you're like, cycling needs a ribbon to break through, at least to let them know.
The problem was she did not win gold.
No, she did not.
That honor went to Anna Kiesenhofer.
From Austria.
Who capitalized on her rival's confusion in the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games road race.
And she won. It was a shocking win.
It really was. This is what she said. When I crossed the line, I thought I had won. This is what van Vleuten said. Silver medalist van Vleuten.
Yeah, because no one was around her, right?
That's right. And you mean to tell me that no one at the finish line told her that she came in second?
If she came in and she was, this is like.
That's the first thing I would have shouted.
So when someone says to me, hey, Randy, I'm like, or I can tell, hey, man, I'm like, hey, Randy's not here yet. I help you out. I see the fear and the misinterpretation in your face.
I'm at the finish line. I'm a fan, and I see van Vleuten come across, hands up in the air. I yell out, congratulations on winning silver.
I just yell like sort of pejoratively, good for you.
Second place is awesome. Unless everyone in the finish line is in on the joke.
And they want to see her just take it to the nth degree, right?
Kiesenhofer. Gave the performance of a lifetime to eclipse the field of huge names.
Yeah.
She was not expected to win.
She finished in just under 4 hours.
30-year-old Austrian.
Like if you told me it was 3 hours and that was a good time, I wouldn't know.
Broke away from the leading group in more than 40 kilometers from the end, holding her own in a demanding 147-kilometer course. The intense heat.
Austria hasn't won a gold medal in cycling since 1896. That's a big day for Austria.
I love that no one noticed that she broke out in front. No one paying attention? She spent much of the rest of the race so far ahead of the chasing pack that she was out of sight of the other cyclists. So
no one saw it pop forward.
She didn't remember it. This happened less than 4 hours ago.
It didn't happen in the 1890s or the 1990s.
Just do a quick head count. There were 10 of us. Now there's only 8, and then me makes 9. Was she thinking to herself, I guess the other rider went ahead and just quit? You know the way when a rider is ahead of everybody else and they think they're going to win the race, they just stop and quit. So they're out. So I'm then, I guess, first.
I got this.
No chance when I saw her cruise ahead of us like she was on an electric bike.
That she could have won the race.
Yeah,
like
no, that way ahead of us. Nope. I won. Me.
So they don't wear earpieces in the Olympics. That's like they do in other world cycling events.
And let me say this. I like van Vleuten. She suffered a horrible crash in 2016. Came around a corner. I saw it. Fell down. Fell over her bar. So she didn't get any medal in 2016.
So she won a silver medal. That's great. It's not gold.
I mean, it's silver medal. It's what the United States has come
winning in everything.
Used to is a silver medal.
It's what the United States will be lucky to win in basketball. Look, she could always get it dipped in gold.
Silver medal and celebrated gold. That's it.
It's like doing a touchdown dance on the 5-yard line.
When you think you're in the end zone, just start dancing.
Spin
the ball on the two. See what happens. Or to me, it's more like doing a touchdown dance after a field goal.
Field goal's pretty good. I don't know that you can do the dance after it.
It's a crazy moment to celebrate like you won.
For the whole world to see.
And then to get told that the person who beat you by 40 kilometers.
I don't know if they beat him by 40 kilometers.
I'm going to say it was 40 kilometers.
They went ahead at the 40-kilometer mark.
It's a whooping. I want to say
that they went out of sight. Let's just say that. Won by enough that she didn't see her win.
I wish she got beaten by 40 kilometers.
No, there's no way.
Uh-oh. 25 miles. I want her to get beat by an entire marathon course.
To somewhere, like, at what point do you take the champagne out of her hands?
And just, as she's dousing everyone at the finish line, do you let her just finish up? When do you get her off the mic? When do you get her off the mic while she's thanking people? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
Even Leon Lett was like, know the situation.
Yeah.
Even Lindsey Vonn was like, wait till you cross the finish line to celebrate.
Right.
Wait till you know what's going on. The gold medal platform was like, in my opinion, a bad tasting wheat bread, gluten free.
Folks.
What if this becomes a new trend? What if people start celebrating silver and bronze medals like they won gold?
I'm there for that.
I'm there for all of that.
Yeah.
Athletes losing their minds over bronze and silver.
It's confusing. I love it.
And therefore hilarious.
No one's going to get mad at you for being excited.
You got the Olympic spirit up in you. In Van Vleuten's mind, she already thought of the poster she'd be on in Holland. Just crossing the finish line, arms raised with the word goals underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Aim high, just not the tippy top.
Mm-hmm.
Aim high, but know that someone is probably 25 miles ahead of you.
Simply almost the best.
Save the winner's platform. See it from up close, Van Vleuten.
There you go. That's hour two in the books.
Hour two in the books. Bob Nightingale at the top of hour three. We're going to talk a little baseball. And we'll get into more.
We'll talk Olympics more. Five Olympic sports that should have been there but aren't.
I cannot wait. The Olympics are happening. Americans are doing okay. Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us for the last hour. I promise you it'll be worth it. We'll be right back.